Welcome to the All Things Work podcast from the Society for Human Resource Management. I'm your host, Tony Lee, head of editorial operations here at CHRM, and thank you for joining us. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. All Things Work is a bi-weekly audio adventure during which we talk with HR thought leaders and tastemakers to give you an insider's perspective on all things work. Joining me today is Chris Cangelosi. Chris is a partner and founder of Gotham Culture, a management consulting firm in New York that empowers leaders to drive change in their organizations through the lens of culture and strategy. He has many years of experience in both internal and external consulting roles, and even more impressively, Chris was a U.S. Battalion Operations Officer and a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. Wow, Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. You know, we have an article that you were quoted in, written by Arlene Hirsch in the All Things Work newsletter, about how business owners are making the transition away from their businesses. They're aging, they are retiring, or they're selling. And the key is, you know, what are they doing to prepare the next wave of managers for running the company? You know, this has interest across the board, not just to the owners, but to the managers who are coming up and to the HR folks who are trying to run all of this, especially at small, medium-sized businesses. So I guess my first question is, you know, where does a business owner start? How do they develop a strategy as they're approaching, you know, the thought of retiring or selling?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tony. And you know, I think the first place to start is, you know, exactly right in your question, is having a strategy, is being intentional about preparing for those types of transitions. They're going to happen in any size business at some point in time, either by your own choosing or by the choosing of someone within your organization. And in today's knowledge-driven economy, especially in the United States, you know, if we view the knowledge in people's heads as a form of intellectual capital, not preparing for this and not efficiently and effectively transitioning information from one person to another is going to put your organization in a risky situation.
Yeah, but let's be honest here. I mean, you're talking about the people who probably started the business from scratch, have been working on it all their life, and it's their baby. Right. And, you know, they're not the people who are the first to say, you know what, I need help, or sure, why don't you take over doing this thing that I've been doing myself perfectly for 20 years? How do you get over that hump of, you know, they're holding it so tightly?
Yeah, that's really kind of a case by case situation, Tony. There's certainly that kind of real and kind of psychological ownership over something that you've created and worked and put your blood, sweat, and tears into. A lot of it really depends on how you see that transition really playing out. Are you selling to a third-party organization? Are you transferring ownership to people who've been within the organization for a long period of time? And there's a variety of strategies. Unfortunately, there's no silver bullet here. You're talking about a lot of different variables, and you're also talking about variables such as the size of your organization and the type of organization you're running. So, for example, a very large organization can manage intellectual capital in a much more rigorous and standardized way than a small mom and pop store might be able to, simply because of the amount of resources that they can invest in solidifying some of this.
Right. So, assuming that, you know, the small business owner is listening to this, and all the folks who've been working for that small business owner, making sure that they're happy, making sure the company's being run the way that they want, you know, would you suggest that an early thing to do is just sit everybody down and kind of talk about the transition, be transparent and open? Or is it something that the business owner should figure out his plan and then unveil it?
Gosh, you know, I am a proponent of being as transparent as humanly possible in all things. You know, I'm a small business owner myself. I get that that's great in theory, but there's some situations that things need to be kept closer to the vest for a variety of reasons. But I'm always a proponent of, you know, being as transparent as possible and as appropriate based on the situation. You know, the more time people can understand and have to prepare for a significant transition like that of an owner, the better. Leaving it to the end kind of puts people in a panic situation. People aren't thinking clearly, and you may be in the situation where you're able to transfer some of that explicit knowledge, but you really kind of tie one hand behind your back in terms of capturing that tacit knowledge, the knowledge that's not really easy to capture in a process document, for example.
Okay, well, so let's flip the model around. Let's say that you're a senior executive at a company that's privately owned, and you're kind of waiting for the owner to announce what's going to happen next. You know, maybe the owner is, you know, reached a certain age. The owner is taking a lot of vacations. You know, the owner is not as involved in the day-to-day as they used to be. What can you as a senior manager, senior executive do or say to help move the transition forward?
Yeah, good question. I'll give you an example just from my small company. What we did is rather than kind of waiting for a transition to kind of be on the horizon, we took a much more proactive approach. We were able to begin to capture knowledge and transfer it through a variety of pretty simple mechanisms that helped us reduce and mitigate the risk associated with an impending transition. And we know that people come and go into organizations. So regardless of whether it's the owner of a small company, whether it's a senior leader, or whether it's an employee who may have a critical role and critical skills that need to be transferred to someone in order to not completely derail your business, it really doesn't matter. So what we did, for example, is had all of our key positions capture all of their key processes. And we did this very economically. We sat down and interviewed each person, talked to them about their key roles and responsibilities. We listed them out, and then we had them capture key processes by recording video walkthroughs. So for example, my marketing person went through all of his key tasks and actually recorded a screen overview, a voiceover screenshot of him going through these processes. So not only did we have a checklist, but we actually have a video capture of him showing the next person exactly what to do. We did this preemptively, kind of as our, you know, God forbid someone gets hit by a bus. There's no one else in the organization that really knows how to do this. So viewing that as a significant risk for us, we were able to proactively do it. So I think the first step is really making it a priority, seeing the value or potential risk associated with not doing it, and then selecting the right approach, the right strategy, or the right tactics that are make the most sense for you and your organization. So as to answer your original question, as a senior leader, if this is not being talked about in the organization, whether or not you see the impending signs of a business owner leaving, I would recommend sitting down and having a discussion about the risks that are present in not doing this and not having some sort of a plan that really fits your organization.
Wow, that's a fascinating idea, the videoing of folks going through their tasks. You're saying this was not a very expensive option when you did it with your cell phone cameras, or did you get a little more professional than that?
You know, it was totally done online. It didn't cost a penny. What it cost was the time for these subject matter experts to sit down and really kind of press pause in their day-to-day tasks to think about what are the key things that I do. And if I were to disappear today and someone else needed to pick up the charge, what would they need to know in order to effectively manage through some of these things? So by actually going through the tasks and just capturing them on their own computers, no special software involved, they're able to capture this. So in this example really happened. My marketing person eventually transitioned to a role with a new company. Wish him the best. No one else in the company knew how to do what this person did. So when our new marketing expert came in, she was able to, as part of her onboarding process, be able to have access to a wealth of information, checklists, job aids, video examples, where she could onboard herself, and she can also use it as an ongoing reference library. The other thing that works for us is kind of this alumni database concept. Now, of course, we're a small company, don't have a huge wealth of alumni, but it's really nice to be able to continue to have those relationships with people as they depart the organization, either formally or informally, where our current staff are able to have access to them, to pick their brain, to get some advice on occasion. You know, not viewing people as, you know, once they transition, they are just lost forever. They bring a lot of knowledge with them. And so, so long as, you know, in my opinion, so long as you treat them right and you treat them with respect, if and when the time comes that you need to reach out to them to get some information, they tend to be more than willing to help you out.
That's a great point. We've published some terrific articles on Boomerang employees and alumni networks. And, you know, it's funny, one of the comments you hear most often is how you treat someone the moment that they say to you, I've really liked working here, but I found another opportunity and I'm leaving, is so critical to the future of your workforce. Because if your response is, well, that's great news, I'm sorry you didn't feel you could achieve your goals here, but I'm really thrilled that you found an opportunity for yourself and we'd love to have you back, resonates so much better than, what? I can't believe that's you're telling right. me this. Get out.
You know. Right. You're dead to me now, so get out.
Exactly. So it works so much better. And it's interesting because the whole approach that you're talking about, succession planning is an area that, you know, a lot of companies get dinged on that, you know, they don't go through these formal processes. But it sounds like the approach you're taking isn't really that formal. It's just informative. It's, you know, so that if the marketing person were to leave, it's possible someone else on your staff could watch that video and say, you know, I could do that.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what happened. And so it doesn't have to be extremely overcomplicated. It doesn't have to be extremely expensive. For us, the risk was so significant that it made absolute sense for us to do that. We don't have formal succession plans. You know, we're not a large organization. But, you know, just because you're not a large, well kind of formed, mature organization doesn't mean that you can't be thinking about these things. You know, and I'll give you an example. So sometimes, back to your earlier question, sometimes you don't know when people are going to transition. So you're doing this proactively as a way to mitigate risk for your organization. Other times you do know it's going to happen. So, you know, to give you another example, you had mentioned earlier that I was in the military. And when I was deployed overseas to Iraq, we had a very formal transfer of control. And what I mean by that is when we arrived in Iraq, we were given an opportunity of several weeks to overlap with the outgoing unit. So every person in my unit literally had a partner in the outgoing unit that they shadowed. And when the Army calls it a left seat, right seat transition, a wonderful opportunity. The first week, if you imagine driving in a car, the first week or two, I would sit in the right seat, in the passenger seat, at least in the U.S. I would follow this person everywhere. They would transition their knowledge as best they could. They would show me what they did. But I would also be able to observe what they did every day and ask questions. So the things that were harder to articulate, I was able to capture because I had the opportunity to observe this person. Then we switched and I would move into the driver's seat and this person would move into the passenger seat. I would lead everything and this person would then provide me with feedback. So that way, by the time they deployed home, everyone in my unit had a very formal and rigorous transfer of knowledge process that had occurred. Now, realize that this can't always work in every organization, but where it can happen, it can be really invaluable.
Well, yeah, it's a great strategy, and it makes perfect sense. You know, most companies, unfortunately, don't have that overlap time. You know, departures come right by surprise, and you don't necessarily have the person identified to be there, but if possible, it makes perfect sense. Let me ask you about actually a comment that you made for the article that we published about exit strategies. And mm-hmm. your comment was that the owner, the leader, the senior executive, whomever is leaving, should switch from working in the business to working on the business. Can you explain more about what you mean there?
Yeah. So, you know, let's take, for example, you know, myself as the example. So I run a small consulting firm. And if I am working in the business, so in my case, if I am working supporting client relationships, providing consulting services to my clients, and I know I'm going to be leaving, if I were to leave in that situation, the transfer of all that information, there's a high risk of the transfer of all that information kind of falling between the cracks. So if I knew that my horizon was limited and I was going to be leaving in, say, a year, what I would recommend is to kind of extract myself from doing the work, begin to transfer that day-to-day work effort to other people so that that knowledge transfer has already taken place before I leave. And I would elevate my duties to things that are more strategic in nature. And what I mean by that is that really any experienced manager could step in and take over the tasks that I would be doing over that remaining time I had.
Okay. So let me paint a picture for you. And, you know, we have a lot of different ways for SHRM members to give feedback. We have something called SHRM Connect. Mm-hmm. And if you go on and take a look, something that you see on a somewhat regular basis among small and medium-sized companies, especially smaller companies, are those who say, hey, our senior executive who's an owner, part owner, you know, has announced a retirement. The person's going to be leaving. We've made all of these plans. Other people are all ready to step up. And then last minute, they change their mind and they say, you know, I'm not really ready. I need a little more time. And, you know, the inevitable result is turnover. You know, a couple of people who've been waiting for this opportunity are like, I can't take it anymore. I'm out of here. You know, and this indecision, right. Whatever. Is that something you see often as well? And if so, you know, if you were talking to that owner, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's something that I see often, but it's certainly a situation. And, you know, I almost put my coaching hat on as you're describing that scenario. I'd really have questions for the owner and really try to understand what it is that's compelling them to stay. Is it, you know, it could be anything, right? Is it that they just can't give up control of their baby, which is a totally different conversation? Is it that they don't feel the next generation is ready to hand off or are ready to accept responsibility here? So is it a skills issue? Is it a trust issue? Is it something within that person's own psyche that really needs to kind of be explored in order for them to feel comfortable giving up the reins? But, you know, realizing that, you know, working with an executive that's planning a departure, that's definitely part of the conversation is what are the risks of you kind of going public with this and then changing your mind? And what potential impact is that going to have on your organization? Regardless of any of those situations, though, Tony, making sure that you've got a strategy and a plan to transfer knowledge effectively in any one of those situations is really important, in my opinion.
That's great. Great advice. Well, Chris, thanks so much. That's going to do it for this edition of All Things Work. A big thank you to Chris Cangelosi for joining me and to discuss imparting knowledge to younger workers and successors and succession planning. It was just terrific. Before we get out of here, I want to encourage everyone to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're at it, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and leave a review, because if you're an HR professional, you know how important feedback is. Also, be sure to check out SHRM on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And you can find all our episodes and more podcasts, including Honest HR, on our website at SHRM.org/podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on All Things Work.